Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll be picking up on page 35 at the heading Assurance of Salvation. That's good stuff, Bob. We look forward to that study. And with a quick reminder that the phone lines are not open today, we will get underway. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We are talking about, I think, one of the most important subjects that we could ever talk about, and that is assurance of salvation. I know for, you know, the 34-plus years I've been around this ministry and been involved in radio, the number one question that that is asked most frequently is about forgiveness and assurance of salvation.
Yeah, right.
So it's something that we wrestle with as people. I know I wrestled with it. I probably prayed to receive Christ 500 times in my life before I really drove the stake and came to that point of assurance that I knew that I knew that I knew. And certainly as we go through the pages of the study today, we want people to come out that at the end of it with that firm assurance that they really are saved. And if they don't have that assurance, to drive the stake, to let today be the day that they really know that Christ has come to live inside of them. So we, you know, as a way of review, last week we looked at the first part of this particular chapter, and we looked at a section called Here's What Happened. And, you know, oftentimes we tell our salvation stories, you know, from our perspective. I prayed a prayer, I walked an aisle, I was, you know, at this particular point in my life and not knowing what to do, what to think, what to say, where to turn. Somebody told me about Jesus, I responded, and now I'm saved. Well, that's what happened from our side of the equation. But when you go heaven side, we see a different, you know, a complete story, the full story, the fact that we cross over from death to life. And then I think this is the most stunning and astounding aspect of the gospel itself, the fact that God comes to live inside of us. So Jesus Christ comes to live inside of us. God's Spirit comes to live inside of us and indwells us permanently and forever. So wherever I go, guess who's right there with me?
The Holy Spirit.
Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God Himself. And the fact that God is there with us changes the whole dynamic of life as far as we're concerned. It changes our hopes. It changes our expectations. So with Christ living in us, I think our expectations can change dramatically. Now, I'm not talking about unrealistic expectations. I think there are some realistic expectations that come with this invasion of our lives with the very life of Christ. They're realistic because they're a part of who He is. Mm-hmm. So I think we can expect to have assurance of salvation, that we can walk in confidence that we know that we are saved. So let's dive in and take a look at what the Word of God has to say about our assurance of salvation. And we're going to start in the book of John chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. Now, there are many verses in the Bible that make the case for eternal security. The strongest come from the mouth of Jesus. And here's one example. So here's what this particular passage says. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now, Jesus just preceded that with these words, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So Jesus is out there in the world through the Spirit today, introducing people to his death, his burial, his resurrection, all of those marvelous claims of who he is. Our hearts respond, we follow, and then as we do, that's faith. What does the Word of God say that Jesus does on our behalf? It's right here in the very first phrase, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, that's good news. So what does God give us? What does Jesus give us as we respond to him by faith?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. That's what we now have as believers. We have eternal life. Now, is that something that happens when we die, or is that something that we get right here, right now?
We get it right now.
We get it right now. So it's ours right now. So the moment that we come to Christ by faith, we are given eternal life, and we begin to experience eternal life right then and there. So if you're a believer in Christ, you have eternal life. And the result of that is that you will never perish. Now, your body is going to die. All of our bodies are going to die and end up in a casket or cremated or whatever happens to it at that point of death. But who we are, the real us, doesn't die.
No.
We're going to go and be with the Lord and be with the Lord forever. So Jesus gives us eternal life, and as a result of that, we will never perish. Now, he goes on to say that we have some protection as far as our souls and this eternal life is concerned. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So once we come to Christ, we've been given eternal life, we will never perish, and now we have been placed into the very hands of Jesus Christ. And no one can snatch us out of Jesus' hands. So if you are saved, you've been given eternal life, you will never perish, you are now in the hands of Christ, and no one will ever snatch you out of his hands. No one's strong enough to do that, not even you. Now, there are many people that will say, you can just walk away.
Yeah, we crawled out of his hands.
Right. That can't happen either, can it?
No, because this word snatch is a violent word. This is the idea of somebody kicks down your door, walks into your house, and steals your stuff while you're helpless to do anything about it. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus talks about the bad shepherd who leaves at the first sign of trouble, and the wolves come and snatch away the flock. It's the same word. This is the word that Paul uses in 1 Thessalonians to talk about when Jesus returns and catches us all up. Now, the good side of this word is Jesus coming to snatch us away. I mean, that's like SEAL Team 6 showing up to save the day. Who's going to stand against him? Well, here in John 10, Satan or anyone else is trying to snatch us away. And Jesus says, oh, no, just go away. He just swats him away. There's no chance. This is maybe one of the strongest words used in the New Testament, and it's absolute. You're not going to be snatched from the hand of Jesus.
No one has the power to loosen that grip that Jesus has on us. It can't pull those fingers away from us that surround us.
Oh.
And if we think that's protection, he goes on to say, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So it's like we're in Jesus' hand, and now Jesus' hand is in the Father's hand. So no one can snatch us out of Jesus' hand, and certainly no one's going to snatch us out of the Father's hand. And then he goes on to say, I and the Father are one. So what kind of security and assurance does this passage give us? I think it gives us total and complete assurance.
Yeah, if you can't believe Jesus, you're not believing at all.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. So if God has us in his hands, if Jesus has us in his hands, then that's where we're going to stay forever. And that's where real life is to be found. That's where eternal life is. It's with Jesus. It's in Jesus. It's in the Father. It's with the Father. There's no other place to experience eternal life apart from being connected to him. So when we're saved, we're connected to Jesus. He comes to live inside of us. His spirit is fused with our spirit. We are one. We are in the hands of Jesus, and no one is going to snatch us away.
Yeah.
That's good news. Huh. And that should settle the argument right there. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes it doesn't. And that's why the Word of God is full, chock full of passages of assurance. And the next one is in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13.
One of my favorite ever.
Yes, indeed. This is one of those you want to memorize.
Yep.
And I know many people out there have, but it's a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. And it reads this way, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So John has given us a testimony. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. We just read that in John chapter 10. To those who follow, who hear Jesus' voice and follow him, Jesus gives them eternal life. And now we see that God has given us eternal life. Well, where is this life to be found? It says, in the Son. This life is in his Son. Is there life anywhere else available to us?
No.
There is no life apart from Jesus. Jesus came into this world so that we might have life. He is the light of the world, and in him we have life, everlasting life.
Yeah, this is the demonstration of what we talk about over and over again here at Basic Gospel, is my real problem wasn't sin. My real problem is death. It's death that needed to be destroyed. Sin had to be destroyed in order to make death possible to be destroyed. But death has been destroyed. Jesus did that. He's the only one who can have life. Everything else is death.
Absolutely. Now, we can't find life in any religious rules and regulations out there. We can't find it in philosophy. We can't find it in wealth. We can't find it in sex. We can't find it in any of those things the world holds out to us and says life is here. Mm-hmm. It's only found in Jesus. So this life is in the Son, and whoever has the Son has life. So the real question is, do you have Jesus? When you receive him, that's exactly who you receive. Jesus comes to live inside of you. And if you have Jesus, you have life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
Oh.
It's pretty black and white,
simple
isn't
that.
It? Just a binary thing. It's either on or off. Either you're saved or you're lost. And you're saved if you have the Son. You're lost if you don't have the Son. Mm-hmm. Once you have the Son, that's a permanent, eternal reality. The Son will never leave you nor forsake you. There's so many people out there that think, you know, if I do something wrong, and this was me for the longest time, if I sin, then God is going to depart from me. Jesus is just going to walk out of this heart of mine. So it's like my heart has a revolving door on it. He's in it sometimes and out, in and out, in and out, depending on my behavior. And as far as my behavior was concerned and is concerned, he's out more than he's in. Yeah. And that's just the reality if we judge it based on that. But we don't. We judge it on the finished work of Jesus Christ and the fact that when he promises to come and live inside of us, that is a permanent transaction. So if you have the Son, you have the life. That's good news.
That is good news. And you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday Study Series from Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the study guide by the same name. It's available, of course, with each week's study notes at basicgospel.net/teaching. That's our main website, Basic Gospel, followed by a slash and the word teaching. We also have a gift for you when you sign up for ministry emails. It's our ebook, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, and it's a powerful resource to set you on the path of freedom and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. To get your copy, simply click subscribe at basicgospel.net. That's our regular website, basicgospel.net. Now again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we're going to ask the question, why in the world did John write this? And there was a purpose. You know, the apostles didn't write just to scratch an itch that they had. Hey, I love to write.
Yeah, I need to write a book.
That's right. They had a purpose. One, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen these words, and the Spirit had a purpose in moving them to do so. As far as these particular words are concerned, John says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. So he wants us to walk in assurance. He doesn't want us to doubt. He doesn't want us to vacillate between, you know, I am or I'm not or that sort of thing. He wants us to really drive the stake and from a point in time forward to walk in assurance that we truly are and genuinely saved once and for all.
Yeah. Why is it that we always want to put an asterisk after that statement to refer to a note at the bottom that says, unless?
Yeah.
Why do we do that? I mean, what is the fear? What is the pride? What is the motivation for that asterisk that so many of us lived with for so long and so many people teach today?
It's just human nature, isn't it?
Yeah.
As I said earlier in the book, we're all natural-born legalists. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when it comes to assurance of salvation, we listen to those legalistic voices.
Yeah.
We listen to that fear within our hearts, and we try to do something to squelch that, to calm that, to ease those fears. We're thinking our good works are going to help ease them, but that's not true. The more that we try to add to what Jesus has already accomplished for us, I think the more fearful that we actually yes. become. So those legalistic voices work against us, not for us. Mm-hmm. So we have to silence those and
yes.
say, you have no place in my mind. You have no place in my heart. I'm going to be deaf to you from this point forward, and I am going to rest solely and completely in the finished work of Jesus.
Yes.
And that's what guarantees our salvation. So we have life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Well, there was a thing called the cross that enabled us to have life, enabled Jesus to come and live inside of us. He's not going to come and live inside of an unclean vessel.
Correct.
So through his shed blood on the cross, he cleansed us and he forgave us once and for all. So when he came to live inside of us, it was a clean vessel, and it still is a clean vessel because of the shed blood of Jesus. All of our sins have already been taken care of. Now, the wages of sin is death. If there was one sin that was left unpunished, unjudged, mm-hmm. when we committed that sin, we would forfeit that life.
Yes.
But there isn't any sin that Jesus didn't deal with at the cross. He died for our sins and the sins of the entire world. So every one of my sins have already been judged. The punishment has already been dealt out. Jesus took it for me. So there is none left at all. There is no punishment for me as a believer in Christ. That's why I can have total and complete assurance of salvation. That's good news, isn't
it? Oh,
it
is. And notice how John has covered all possible avenues here. Here in his letter, 1 John, he's talking about the internal message of the Spirit saying, Richard, Bob, Joe, Nancy, you are saved. I am here. You are saved. And then he deals with the external pressure in Jesus' words that he reports in his gospel. It says, who's going to take you out of my hand? Nobody can. Now, that kind of covers it all. All the external threats, all the internal threats. Everything's taken care
Absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely. We do have an enemy,
yes.
and that enemy accuses us. That's
yes.
that's all he can do is bring up accusations. And he'll take the things that we've done, and he'll ask us, well, how can you be a Christian if you do something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And if we start listening to what he has to say, you know, these doubts will start to creep back in. But our salvation is not dependent upon the things that we do or we don't do. Life is in the Son. If you have the Son, you have life.
Yes.
And in the Son, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You already have forgiveness of sins. So you can just look at Satan and say, you know, go talk to somebody else because I'm resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And thank you for reminding me of what he
yes.
accomplished. So I can say to Jesus again, thank you for taking away my sins once and for all. Thank you for coming to live inside of me with the promise that you will never leave me nor forsake me. And I think as you learn to do that, that assurance will just grow and grow and grow in your mind and in your soul. And you know, there will be days that you will just walk in complete conviction that absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. That is where God wants all of us to be. And with Christ living in us, we can expect that. Now, there's one other passage in this section that I think is very, very helpful. It's Romans 8:15-16. And here Paul writes this, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. That's how we lived before. We lived in fear. We were fearful of God's punishment. But we've received the Spirit of God, and He does not make us slaves again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. So we went from being a slave to sin to a son in Christ.
Yes.
A big difference. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So God came to live inside of us. Christ came to live inside of us. The Spirit came to live inside of us. And the Spirit testifies with our human spirit that we are indeed children of God. Now, we need the work of the Spirit on that front, don't we?
We do.
A lot of times when I was growing up and trying to figure out how this Christian life was supposed to work, people said, you just need to memorize Scripture. And boy, when times get tough, just rely on that memory. Well, my memory wasn't always that good.
And it always went to the negative.
It always went to the negative. And so God doesn't just leave us to rely on memory. He's put His Spirit inside of us, and His Spirit is going to bring the truth that we belong to Christ to our minds. And that is going to quieten our hearts and put a calmness there and a peace there and an assurance there and a contentment there that our memory just couldn't do, especially when things are going rough and, you know, we're experiencing a rough patch in life and Satan is throwing all kinds of fiery darts at us. You know, our memories get dulled at those particular times, and we just don't see truth. But yet there's the Spirit of God. He's alive, living inside of us, and He is saying to our spirits that we indeed belong.
Yeah, that word adoption there has been one of my favorite words over the years because of what it meant in Paul's world. I mean, if you, as a Roman citizen, adopted a son, for all intents and purposes, that man, they very rarely adopted little kids, they adopted grown people, that man ceased to exist as it was as if he never existed as the son of some other person. His identity was utterly changed, completely, no going back. You are now my son, as if you were born to me. And that's exactly what the Spirit is telling us here, is that it's as if we were never children of the world. We were never born in Adam, as it were. We were born in Christ, and that's what counts.
Yes, indeed. Now, if you're listening today and you're struggling with your assurance of salvation, will you let today be the day that you drive the stake, knowing that Christ has come to live inside of you, knowing that all of your sins are forgiven? Will you simply say to the Lord Jesus, thank you, and from this day forward, I'm going to live in thankfulness? That's what happened to our friend Bonnie a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. We were at a conference, and I joined she and her husband Jim for lunch one day, and she had this big, beautiful smile on her face, and I looked at her, and I said, you sure look happy today, and she said, I am, because today I finally got it. And here's what she wrote: June 6th is the first day of my new life. I think I'd received Jesus as my Savior, but I was not 100% sure. Today, now I know I have. I am accepted. I am a forgiven child of God. I am righteous before the one great God. He is my Father. Jesus Christ is my Savior and friend for eternity.
Wow.
That is assurance of salvation. And how do we get it? When Jesus comes to live inside of us and we start listening to the voice of His Spirit telling us that we belong, that we are children of God.
What good news that is, guys. Thank you for another marvelous study. Friends, we're glad that you've joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide and book are available along with the weekly study notes at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. Well, thanks for being with us again, everybody. For Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel Ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.